talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. Donald Trump did a lot of vandalizing of our government on the way out. But one of the lesser known things he did was to salt the bureaucracy with political appointees in political jobs, but giving them civil service status. So they're hard to get rid of. You know, you can't just get rid of somebody who's there in civil service. And this is, they have identified 26 remaining political appointees masquerading as civil servants. And unfortunately, some of them are in OSHA, some of them are in Homeland Security. And these are areas where it's imperative that Joe Biden has control of those agencies. I mean, OSHA, you're talking about worker safety, and Homeland Security, you're talking about the security of this country. Now, Biden has already weeded out the low-hanging fruit, people that Trump put in as general counsel of NSA, for instance, and others. He just went through like the Grim Reaper and took them all out. But these are going to require, in my opinion, what he's got to do is, if they're covered by civil service, first of all, were they legitimate appointments for civil service? In other words, there are some formalities that have to be done, and they have to be qualified for it. But even assuming that they did, put them in other positions, get them the heck out of there. Anything policymaking, you cannot have OSHA and Homeland Security and other agencies infected by Trump's political appointments. And believe it or not, there's nine of them that are still awaiting review. Nine of them. Now, I cannot understand, Biden became president at noon on Wednesday, why under the law that somehow if Trump made one of these pretextual appointments for civil service, even though they were political appointments and they're waiting review, why not cut it off? I'm sure that's being looked at. Make sure that there isn't something there that interferes with civil service regs. But what Trump did the last 2 months, right up to the day before, is salt the government and do everything he could to impede Joe Biden. There are some rules that he forced through and that his cabinet forced through that may be hard to overturn in a 50-50 Senate. Let me give you some examples. There are banking rules that benefit Wall Street that are bad public policy. Sherrod Brown of Ohio, progressive senator, is the new chair of the banking committee. He's looked at all these, and under a law that is 24 years old, 1996, the Congress can overturn certain regulations. It had gotten to the point where the regulatory authorities, the administrative agencies, had gotten too powerful. But it requires a majority in the Congress. And at 50-50, yes, Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker, but you have various Democratic congressmen who are more on the moderate to conservative side. You have Joe Manchin of West Virginia, good guy. I mean, he gives us votes all the time, but he has to get elected in West Virginia, where Trump takes by more than 20%. And so with some of these regs, Sherrod Brown is gonna have his work cut out for him. But just as an alert to everybody listening to this show, in the last hours, gasping hours, I mean, he did a lot of these pardons, for instance, in the wee hours of the day that Biden became president. Trump did him in the wee hours of Wednesday. Those are the pardons, but a lot of this other stuff happened right up till the last day, and nine appointments are still pending. Very sad state of events. I want to get back to the rally quickly, the insurrection. It has now come out that Trump's PACs provided $2.7 million in funding for that rally. $2.7 million. $1.7 million went to the rally organizer, another million to personnel associated with the rally. It's a lot of money, a lot of cabbage, a lot of simoleons, $2.7 million to gin up a rally. That rally would not have occurred otherwise. You don't have people, you don't have thousands of people pay their own way to come to Washington in hotels, VRBO, and get, and come out to hear a speech just by accident. Even if they're lathered up, there has to be a concerted effort. And now it's come out that Trump paid, his on his behalf anyway, his PACs paid $2.7 million for the rally, $1.7 million going to the event organizer. It was planned for months, ever since he lost the election on November 3rd and realized he wasn't going to be able to overturn it. That is an additional piece of evidence of his complicity in this. It's not just like he woke up one day, stretched and yawned and say, my, there's a lot of people out there. Maybe I should go over and say hello to them. My, oh my, they're all carrying my signs. I'm going to give a motivational speech. What, about democracy? About the peaceful transfer of power? They came here by accident? No, they didn't come there by accident. They came armed, by the way, too, armed. Guy doesn't come in a fur hat, horns, and war paint with a bare chest in January of the year from a long distance away just because it occurred to him one day. No, it just didn't occur to him one day. No, that isn't what happened. $2.7 million for the rally. $1.7 million of it went to the event organizer, and $1 million went to folks that staffed it, that planned it for months beforehand. I'll tell you, there were 10 heroes, though, in the impeachment. 10 Republican congresspeople voted to impeach. That took a lot of guts. You may say, well, that's a no-brainer. In Madison, it's a no-brainer, where you're listening, a lot of you. In Milwaukee, it's a no-brainer, where I am and a lot of people are listening. And around the state of Wisconsin, among progressives, it's a no-brainer, and that's where a lot of other people are listening. And some of you are listening from Chicago. One of our biggest audiences for this show is in Chicago, believe it or not. We have audiences around the country. We have an audience in Berlin. Everybody says, oh, it's a no-brainer. No, it was not a no-brainer. As a result of their courage, there's a backlash rising in the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is plotting. He's plotting primary opposition to those congressmen. They're up every 2 years. They're up every 2 years, and 2022 is the next time. And these were amazingly courageous people, because all they had to do is vote present or not vote at all, or just go along to get along. They didn't do it. Liz Cheney was one of the bravest. She's number three in the House leadership in the Republican Party. The minority leader, of course, is Kevin McCarthy, absolutely servile, worthless individual, fellow traveler and running dog of Trump, Trump fellow traveler and running dog of Vladimir Putin. The second one is Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Bad news, very bad news. He and McCarthy both voted against, not only against impeaching, but against certifying the election. About 140 members of the Republican Party in the Congress. That is a third of the Congress, is two-thirds of the Republican minority, voted to not even certify the election when 50 secretaries of state and governors said, these are our votes. And the U.S. Supreme Court went along, and Bob Barr went along. It was crooked, sneaky Bob Barr. They all went along, and these people, Scalise and McCarthy, still voted against certification. Liz Cheney stood tall. I frankly hope in 2024, Joe Biden's running for election, and I'll be his strongest supporter, as I was this time, going back to the early year, days of his candidacy in April of 2019. And I will again, but I would like to see on the other side people who aren't nut jobs. So if anything takes a bad bounce, the country is protected. I want to see Liz Cheney on that ticket as vice president. Don't agree with her on a lot of issues. Her father was bad news. Dick Cheney, very bad news. But she stood tall, and she has got to be acknowledged for standing tall. Now she's going to have a primary. The other thing, Trump is floating, but, you know, he shoots from the hip. He has no discipline, shoots from the hip. And one of the things he's floating now is a third party. And to some people, he said it's going to be the MAGA party, the Make America Great Again Party. To others, the Patriot Party. Maybe it's the MAGA Patriot Party. Well, you know, on initial, the first blush is you think, oh, that's great. He'll suck votes away from Republicans. The Democrats will get in. You know, it really isn't great. The Republican Party is not going to right itself if that happens. It's going to disappear. And we don't need a nut job party in this country that resorts to violence. What we need is a stable conservative party. And we have the Democratic Party, and that has stood us in good stead for a long time. The other thing is there are fissures, there are cracks in the Democratic Party, cracks between the squad and the ultra progressives, the authoritarian left, and the mainstream Democratic Party. And so far, that's been bandaged over. Biden's been very smart about it. He's done that, but that's not going to go on forever, and he's not going to go on forever, no more than two terms. He's barred by the Constitution for more than two terms. And we've got to come to grips with how the two parties are going to go forward in the 21st century. This is a very serious subject. Trump, I hope if Trump does create a MAGA party, he runs as its candidate. That will bleed votes away from the Republicans. But he may very well simply go into the primaries and be their nominee in 2024, and that would be disastrous. Going to a break. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. For a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that...